A long time ago, I knew a man who would attempt to initiate conversations with someone, usually an unescorted woman, by saying, "So what's your story?" As a pickup line that struck me at the time as being perhaps one notch better than "What's a nice girl like you doing in a joint like this?" but not better by much. Nevertheless, I must have been influenced at the time by the idea that a person has a story. Not just a story about what happened on the camping trip or my last date, but a story about themselves that would structure the way they might explain themselves to themselves as well as explain themselves to the world. The TV news we watch is the PBS NewsHour. On Fridays, there's usually a conversation between David Brooks, a conservative columnist of the New York Times, and Mark Shields, a liberal syndicated writer. In one of these conversations, David Brooks asserted that a significant problem in this country is that at one time, we as Americans shared a common story, but the story is no longer commonly believed. The story is that America is a new beginning. If you were an immigrant or a descendant of immigrants, what guided that immigration was a desire and a hope for a new beginning, a fresh start for you and your descendants. Another aspect of the story is that whatever your social or economic background, each generation has the opportunity for this same new beginning, this same fresh start. Brooks says this is no longer a shared story. Now we have multiple and divergent stories that feature internal and external threats. The government is not to be trusted. It's us against them. The system is rigged. The world is dog-eat-dog. These stories do not advance hope and community, but promise fear and anger. Countries don't just have stories. We all have a story about ourselves. In 25 words or less, how would you describe yourself? Our personal life story is a summary of what we think we are, not a story that begins with, "It was a dark and stormy night when I was born," and then proceeds for 1,000 pages. It's more of a, "I'm a single mom who likes to be in nature," or, "I'm a working man who believes in law and order," or, "I'm a person in search of myself." A few days ago in the supermarket parking lot, I saw a personalized license plate that said, "Shy Girl." That's a personal story, a concise one, but nevertheless a story. I also recently saw a stripped-down Jeep mounted with two huge flags, one a U.S. flag and the other a "Don't Tread on Me" flag. My spontaneous take on it was that this guy was publicly and loudly saying, "I'm a Second Amendment guy." However, he may well be thinking that his story is, "I'm a proud patriot." It's an interesting activity to try to articulate our own personal and individual story. But once you have a vision of your story, your behaviors and thoughts then become connected up with your personal story. If Shy Girl initiates a conversation with someone, her thought might be, "Pretty good for a shy girl." Or if she goes off by herself at a party, she can summarize her motives by saying, "Well, what do you expect? I'm a shy girl." Another event that had me thinking about an individual story was when the Me Too movement was starting to happen, and various powerful and well-known men were being called out for harassment and sexual abuse. One of these people, when confronted with the accusations against him, said, "That's not me." What does "that's not me" mean? It doesn't sound like a denial of the accusation. It's more like a statement that the behavior doesn't fit with the person's story about themselves. Recently, a video of a New York attorney surfaced and went viral. The attorney, whose name was Schlossberg, loudly accused the manager, employees, and a customer of the Fresh Kitchen diner in New York of being illegal immigrants because they were speaking Spanish. He threatened to call and report them to the ICE. Social media assailed Mr. Schlossberg and protesters showed up at his office. A week later, he tweeted an apology. Mr. Schlossberg said, quote, "What the video did not convey is the real me. I am not a racist," end quote. His personal story is that I'm not a racist. Yet the New York Times reports that on two former occasions, he had violent outbursts, once at a convention, and another time when he loudly accused a tourist on Fifth Avenue of being a foreigner and to get out of my country. The man was a U.S. citizen from Ohio. So perhaps his personal story, "I am not a racist," is what he aspires to be, not what he actually is. I've had that's not me moments as well. I like to think of myself as accepting others as they are. So I find that if I've belittled someone or made a disparaging comment about someone, the saying of "that's not me" to myself describes my aspiration. The question of whether or not one acts on one's aspirations or not is a definition and question of character. We all probably have a story that describes and explains this congregation to ourselves and sometimes to others. In casual conversations, when the subject of churches comes up, and I say we belong to the Unitarian Universalist congregation, the person I'm talking with will sometimes ask, "What's that?" What I have found myself responding with over the years is, "We are a non-Christian, liberal, activist, often progressive congregation that encourages a search for spirituality." Apparently, that's enough to satisfy the other person, or at least to stymie any further curiosity about what those words mean. You may have a very different way of explaining what we are to people outside the congregation. If we were to share our UU of SCV stories with each other, we might also find some differences. Some people might say something like, "We are a small but growing congregation that wants a voice in the community." Others might say something like, "We are a just the right size congregation that cares about each other." Or possibly, "We are a small congregation with not enough money and we are doomed." The story that we have about the congregation is reflected in our involvement and support of the congregation. The fact that I am using the word congregation instead of church is one of the outcomes of how we, in the past, explained ourselves to ourselves. In the beginning, we referred to ourselves as a church. This didn't fit with the story that many members had about us. The word church just seemed, well, too churchy, and conjured up unfortunate stereotypes. And we wanted to focus more on who we were, so congregation supplanted church. Our brains are structured to condense and simplify as we perceive the world. This certainly makes evolutionary sense. If you're a proto-human and a saber-toothed tiger is approaching you, if you take time to analyze and make discriminations of the nuances of the coming large-fanged mammal, you are going to be that mammal's lunch, and your overthinking DNA won't be going anywhere. But if your brain is built to simplify and condense the incoming information, "dangerous animal coming, get the heck out of here," you will live to reproduce, and your DNA will happily go forward and create more and more condensing and simplifying brains. That's the way that evolution works. It may be that oversimplifying, while at one time saving us from early extinction, may be now an unfortunate residue of that evolution. Our political world seems to have promoted oversimplified and condensed views of issues, as well as whole populations of humans. We may just be much too inclined to oversimplify and condense. I believe that seeing the nuances and complexity of issues in others does not lead to paralysis, but leads to thoughtful solution of problems. The notion that we create a story about ourselves at a sort of subconscious level is moderately interesting. The problem is that we don't just have one story, but at least two. There's the public story. I'm thinking about the flag-toting Jeep driver. And there's also an inner story, the one we tell ourselves about ourselves. Our public story might be, "I'm a successful business person." The inner story might be, I'm a person afraid of authority. That leaves us with the question, who are we? Are we the public story, the inner story, the story to our family, our work-life story, or some sort of amalgamation of all of them? I think we can agree on the story that says people are complex and complicated. If we think about our country story, it gets even more complex. I've been thinking a lot about David Brooks' observation about the demise of the American story of a fresh start, a new beginning. Modern-day immigrants have that story about this country, but the rest of us seem to be increasingly opposed to immigrants, both documented and undocumented. I'm not completely naive, and I know that in spite of Brooks' observation, there were numbers of people in this country that in the past didn't share the story. But as I thought about my own elementary and secondary school education, elementary school in rural Midwestern cattle ranch country, and secondary school in a progressive Palo Alto public high school, that new beginning, fresh start story was the theme to history, English, shop, and even PE classes. It really became my story, and my life at times seemed to be a roller coaster of ups and downs and fresh starts. We're all painfully aware of how polarized our country is today. There are those people who love the president no matter what he does, and there are those people who hate the president no matter what he does. It's part of that condense and simplify mechanism. We view each other with simplified and sometimes vilifying stories. People say we need to talk to each other and not just shout at each other while shaking our collective fists. In an attempt to listen to people I disagree with, I get Facebook postings from a few people whose stories I would describe as tending toward the wacko. What they post as ideas from their perspective seem incredibly far-fetched and hateful. My alleged listening was not doing anything to ease my feelings about these folks. Then I ran across a letter to the editor in the Signal. It was from someone who I don't know. Brett Haddock is a candidate for city council. I have no idea what his politics are or what vision or complaint he has about city government. But I thought he had an understanding of how to approach the whole personal and public stories issue. His idea was to have all the candidates for city council meet 1 week after the deadline for filing for city council election. But the candidates and their significant others, no media, no entourage or supporters, they'd meet at a restaurant. He suggests these folks have a discussion, not about their candidacy or campaign, but about who they were, share their stories and their love for the city of Santa Clarita. He further suggests that after the dinner, that a group photo be taken of just the candidates so that later they could show that they were able to get together and have a peaceful meal with each other. I think Mr. Haddock is on to something. The most wacko of my Facebook folks usually repost political stories, rumors, and multiple conspiracies. But a couple of weeks ago, he was tagged in a group photo. It was the first time that I saw what he looked like. He was in a wheelchair. My son has been in a wheelchair for the last 13 years, so I know a little bit about what that entails. Seeing this side of this man's story didn't make me be filled with warm, fuzzy feelings for him, but it altered my story about him some. So perhaps we need to share stories before we try to share ideas and our ideologies. We keep hammering folks that we don't agree with the rightness of our position and the wrong-headedness of their stupid ideas. If we knew something about how the other person lived their life and how they grew up, I think it would soften the edges around our stories. I believe that anything that can soften our diamond-hard edges and beliefs is bound to be helpful. So we all have these stories. It's just a small story, a simple story, a story about you, about other people, about our country, about our congregation, a simple story that we need to not only tell to others, but to listen to others' stories, to understand more of our humanness. After all, that's the final story. We're all complicated, complex humans, and ultimately, if we're going to survive, we'll need each other. Thank you.